Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up on our program tomorrow, it's an international edition of the Midday News Wrap. We're going to talk about the road ahead with North Korea, the roadkill that was left after the G7 summit, and the end of U.S. asylum protections for people fleeing domestic and gang violence. Christine Hong of the Korea Policy Institute and Julian Borger of the Guardian newspaper will join me. Plus, an international choral festival has come to Baltimore. We'll get a preview of a unique concert that's happening Saturday night. That's all coming up tomorrow on Midday. Now we're going to turn our focus to one of several races for seats in the Maryland Senate, in which veteran office holders are being challenged by a new generation of political hands, some of whom are new to politics altogether. Joining me in Studio A is Sheldon Laskin, a Democratic candidate for the Senate in Maryland's 11th district, which includes Pikesville, Owings Mills, and Hunt Valley in Northwest Baltimore County. Mr. Laskin is running against incumbent Democrat Senator Bobby Zirkin, who has been in the Senate for 12 years. He also served for 8 years in the House of Delegates. We invited Senator Zirkin to appear on our program with Mr. Laskin on 4 different occasions. He either declined our invitation or didn't respond to our requests. Sheldon Laskin is a former litigator with a background in state and local taxation. He's argued cases for the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, and from 1990 to 1998, he served as an assistant attorney general for the state of Maryland. He was born in New Jersey, and he's been a resident of the Baltimore area for more than 40 years. He is 67 years old. He lives in Pikesville. He and his wife have an adult daughter. If you have a question or comment for Sheldon Laskin, our phone number on Midday, 410-662-8780, our email midday@wypr.org, to drop us a tweet @MiddayWYPR. And as we do with all of our candidates' conversations, we are streaming on the WYPR Facebook page. Mr. Laskin, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
And it's a pleasure to be here today, Tom.
So what do you think of my assessment, my description of...
Actually, have protected the industry. The bill passed the Senate, but it was defeated in the House of Delegates. So that's a direct service to an industry that finances him. He also, in this past session, effectively killed 3 bills that would have improved procedures in landlord-tenant court for tenants. One bill simply would have allowed tenants 7 days' notice of an eviction hearing to make child care arrangements, to make arrangements with their employers, to hire a lawyer, to prepare a defense. You know, in most cases, people get 30 days to answer a complaint and even more time before they have to actually appear in court. This was a bill that simply would have given tenants 7 days' notice. He killed it. He wouldn't allow it to come to a vote. There was another bill that would have required a landlord, before getting a judgment of eviction, to show that he was in compliance with lead paint laws. He also killed that. And he takes money from commercial developers and landlords.
In 2016, Hillary Clinton found out the hard way that making simply the case that she wasn't Donald Trump was not enough to get her across the finish line. So you've made the case that Mr. Zirkin has done things that, you know, perhaps don't sit well with many people in your district. But what makes you the better guy to be in the Senate?
Okay, there are a number of progressive issues that I would like to advance in the Senate. First of all, on health care. We really do need to go for a Medicare for all system. The federal government is not going to do it, but there's no reason why states individually can't do it. The RAND Corporation, as Ben Jealous points out, did a study in Oregon that indicates that Oregon can afford to go to single payer for Oregonians. Maryland is a wealthier state with a higher population. If Oregon can do it, there's no reason we can't. That would also serve to help rein in the cost of prescription drugs. As you know, a couple of years ago, when Medicare was extended to prescription drugs, Congress specifically refused to allow the federal government to use its purchasing power, its bargaining power, to negotiate lower prescription drug costs. But there's no reason why the state couldn't do that for Marylanders. So that's a good...
You called out Bobby Zirkin saying, shame on you, you forgot where you came from. This is something that we in Pikesville and the district should be horrified about. We watch what Trump has done to destroy families, taking children away. And I feel like Bobby Zirkin is doing the same thing to Marylanders. So that's one of the many reasons I'm supporting Sheldon Laskin.
Do you have a particular question, Betsy? Do you have a particular question for Mr. Laskin?
Sure. How would you deal with the Trust Act?
Okay. The Trust Act is actually a public safety measure. Senator Zirkin always claims to be a champion of law and order. The Trust Act was all about furthering law and order. What the Trust Act would have done, it would have prohibited local law enforcement in Maryland from holding an immigrant for detention by ICE if the immigrant's only problem was that they weren't documented. Obviously, if there was if the immigrant was suspected of a crime, the immigrant could be held. If there was a warrant, the immigrant could be held. But if the only problem was lack of documentation, the Trust Act would have protected that immigrant. In the absence of the Trust Act, if immigrants fear that if they call the police, someone in their family or a close friend is likely to be deported, they are less likely to call the police. And that is why law enforcement agencies largely support measures like the Trust Act. It's designed to protect everyone. It's not designed simply to protect the immigrant who can't be held. So, yes, I would support it very much so.
Speaking of crime, one of the things that Mr. Zirkin endured a good bit of criticism about was his support of a bill called SB 122, which was the omnibus crime bill, which did not actually ultimately pass through the General Assembly, but it was supported by Senator Zirkin, many other people, including Governor Hogan. The governor points to it as one of his, examples of bipartisanship, a watered-down version of crimes in the first place. What happens to those repeat felons who keep committing crimes, even after they've been arrested and perhaps even incarcerated once or twice? The governor and perhaps Senator Zirkin, and I don't know because I've not talked to him, perhaps would adduce that what we're talking about in that bill, SB 122, or even the bill that ended up passing, is dealing with the people who have already committed the crime. What do you say to the voter in Perry Hall who says this young man, Dante Harris, had stolen four cars, was AWOL from house detention, was driving around three other guys who were burglarizing homes, and then he kills a police officer, whether that was, in a bad moment or premeditated, that's going to be worked out in the courts. Seems pretty unlikely that it was premeditated, of course. But, what do you say? What do you do to that kid? Some people will say he's 16 years old. You give him another chance. Others would say, he blew it, throw him in jail, and then have a sentence that will stick.
Studies show, experience shows, that the one factor that correlates most positively with recidivism is lack of jobs and lack of the other safe on smart on crime programs that I talked about. It's because those programs either don't exist or are not adequately funded and generally available that an offender comes back into the community, again, worse than when they left, and is likely to reoffend if for no other reason than the only job available for that person is back in the drug trade. If we want to deal with recidivism, you deal with it as part of the overall strategy for fighting crime, which is you've got to provide these services upfront, consistently, and fully funded if you're going to see a meaningful reduction in violent crime. Just putting people away for longer and longer and longer. If this individual, Mr. Harris, never gets out of prison, there will be other Mr. Harris's who will follow in his footsteps. Putting the offender away forever is not a...
He is the chair of the Judicial Proceedings Committee. The co-chair of that is Dolores Kelly, the vice chair. She's also being challenged. What do you say to the voter who is concerned that if a brand new senator replaces Mr. Zirkin, somehow Baltimore County will lose some influence in Annapolis?
I think in looking at a committee chairmanship, any committee chairmanship, particularly one as powerful as this one, the question is not, well, do we automatically lose if he's gone? But what has he been doing while he's there? Has he really been serving the interests, not just of the people of Baltimore County? He's the chair of the Maryland Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee. When he picks up the gavel, he really represents the entire state of Maryland. And how is he serving Baltimore City? How is he serving Montgomery County by the positions he's taken to vote against sick leave, to not come out on $15 an hour, the crime bill, the Trust Act, the Home Act, which would have prohibited redlining based on source of income for the entire state, killed that. How is he serving the entire state and in his position as chair. If you think he's serving it well, then he's your candidate. If you think he's not serving it well, do you gain anything by merely having him stay in that position?
Sheldon Laskin is running for Senate in the District 11 race in Northwest Baltimore County. Let's go back to the phones. Matthew in Baltimore, welcome to Midday with Sheldon Laskin.
Hi. My question, Mr. Laskin, is specifically relating to the rent court and the crisis that's going on in rent court filings that has not been addressed year over year in Senator Durkin's committee. And particularly, I guess this is a Baltimore County question, because Baltimore County has the most rent court filings in the entire state. I think people think it's a Baltimore City only issue, but it really does hit Baltimore.
Is that going to be a burden for you as a person who identifies with the progressive cause?
I tend to think that when people vote for down ballot candidates, they're voting for the down ballot candidates. When they vote for governor, they're voting for governor. But that there's no real coattail effect merely because he's very popular. Also, it remains to be seen what will happen.
Indeed. One quick question before we go. One of your areas of legal expertise is the tax code.
Right.
You were a tax litigator for a long time. What would you do to reform do you think we need to reform the tax code
here
in Maryland?
Very definitely. The way Maryland taxes corporate income leaves a lot of money on the table, because Maryland uses an archaic system of apportioning income of a multi-state business, a system that's really more appropriate for a manufacturing economy. In a service economy, it makes it too easy for a business to structure its affairs in such a way that it can source the income from that business out of the state and pull the expenses into the state, thereby reducing or eliminating their taxable income. The method that Maryland should be using is combined reporting. Most states now use it. Most states have moved off of separate entity reporting for precisely this reason. It's too easy to play games. So in Maryland, in the legislature, I would use my expertise to try to convince other legislators that the state shouldn't be leaving money on the table. And if you could do that and some other measures, you can increase your revenues without increasing the tax rate, because nobody wants to increase the rate of taxation. But you do want to be sure that you're capturing all the income that is properly subject to tax in the state.
Sheldon Laskin is running against Senator Bobby Zirkin for the District 11 seat in the Maryland Senate. Early voting is underway today. It lasts until next Thursday, and then the election is on June 26. Mr. Laskin, I appreciate your time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
This is the final installment in our series of conversations with the candidates that we've been broadcasting throughout this primary season. We will pick up the series again in the fall before the general election. You can hear all of my conversations with the folks who are running.